I'm not really technologically totally challenged, but this system is a little bit different. Our next presenter is from the state of Florida, Dana Phillips, who has an MBA. She is the program director of the Transforming Our Community Health Touch Initiative. Touch is the Center for Disease Control and Prevention Community Transformation Grant awarded to the Broward Regional Health Planning Council in Florida. So, Ms. Phillips?
Hi, y'all. I'm Tina Phillips. I'm with Broward Regional Health Planning Council, and I...
Just the arrows.
There we go. I have no financial relationships to disclose, and I want everyone to be aware that this is made possible by the Center's funding from the Community Transformation Grant, Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, and that the findings and conclusions are just mine. And to give you kind of an overview of Broward Regional Health Planning Council, we've been in business since 1982. And we deal with just about any kind of health planning that needs to go on in our area. And to let you know where we are, Broward County is our largest city is Fort Lauderdale. To the east, we have the wonderful Atlantic Ocean. To the north, we have Palm Beach. To the south, Miami. And then over to the west, the Everglades. And we are funded through the CDC, Affordable Care Act, and patient prevention. And we're a collaboration of 20 community organizations and over 10 coalitions. And this gives you an idea of the kind of partnerships we have. We have over 27 funded partners. In addition, we have all of these partners that are helping us. Today, I'll let you know that we've got four strategic directions, and it kind of gives you an overview of everything that we're doing. And part of the work that we do is in active living and healthy eating. So if I can get everybody to stand up real quick, and if you can do a big yawn, and while you're yawning, if you can count to five in whatever language you like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And one more time, big, long stretch. Uno, dos, tres, cuatro, cinco. Oh, thank you guys so much. I feel better.
You feel good. Thank you.
I can continue now. One of the things that we work on is, of course, being able to understand the connection between physical activity and mental acuity. And you just now have brought in lots of oxygen and into your brain, so I know that you're going to be able to retain everything that I say from now on. Anyway, with active living and healthy eating, we do focus on our at-most risk populations. But in addition, we do the whole spectrum of life, so everything from baby-friendly, from birth all the way through retirement. We want to make sure that we have, in each one of our sectors, people there and programs in place that can assist all the way through. And because of the range of the partnerships that you saw before, we're actually able to achieve this. Part of the work that we've done has been to target those areas that are of most need. And in order for us to do that, we worked with Anthony Oliveri, who happens to be here today, if you can raise your hand, and with FEED. And he was able to show us exactly what the population and what our county looks like when we're looking at an unhealthy food environment. And in order to do that, we looked at diabetes PQI3, which is the prevention of actual going to the hospital because of not taking care of your diabetes. And then the unhealthy food index, which takes into account how far it is to walk and get to a grocery store, as well as the fast food and corner stores that are in the area, the black population, and then also for family wealth in our state, or in our county, especially having to do with poverty, is the earned income tax credit. And then in the middle, He put all of these together, and you can see exactly where we need to work. And so that's how we decided which areas to work in and how to go about that. And some of his findings, which to me were absolutely unbelievable, is to think about if you're black and you live in Broward County, to have 88% more, I mean, if you can see over the county rate. And when you first see the numbers, it's like, oh, 720 and whites are 430. But when you population adjust it and this sticks out, it's like, holy moly, these are things that you can take to your decision makers and be able to say, this is not just something that I'm coming up with. This is not something that, you know, you think there might be a problem or that something someone has done to themselves. This is what's happening in our county. So with that, we had Anthony actually go through and get down to the track level so that we had a better idea of exactly where we were going to work. And in doing so, we applied for a farmers market promotion grant through the USDA. And we were able to work with these three areas, Lauderdale Lakes, Sis Trunk area of Fort Lauderdale, which is incredibly, incredibly poor, and then Dania Beach. So all three of these areas meet the criteria of being exceptionally poor. The majority of these are black. And in Broward County, it's black for us, and the reason that I use black instead of African American is because our black population is African American, it's also Caribbean, it's also Haitian, and it's also Hispanic. So for us, we need to look at it in a more holistic way. And the last thing is they're USDA food deserts. So what we did was we worked for almost a year in those three different areas to figure out how we could bring about some changes both in the food system itself, being able to train our growers. Because in Broward County, even though Miami-Dade and Palm Beach counties are both leaders in the state, number one and number two, for agriculture, Broward County has none. I mean, it's one of the lowest ones in the whole entire state. So part of the work that we had to do was grow growers, because if you want people to have fresh fruits and vegetables and yet you have no way to supply them, you know, you're missing a big link in the chain. So we worked with that. We've also introduced the notion of active living and healthy eating together, so that it's not just what you eat, it's also when you eat, how you eat, the whole combination of active living, of being able to make exercise, not exercise, but it's just part of moving. And then in our community market gardens and with our farmers market, we've done the nutritional awareness, the cooking demos, the juicing options. People are really interested in, you know, what juicing is. Anybody who's seen the Nutribullet, you know, and we had people coming to the farmers market who didn't want to buy kale to eat. They wanted to have it to juice, and they wanted to learn about it. So what we did was in the farmers markets actually be able to have resources there about juicing. So we got the juicing Bible, and we got information. Recipes for unfamiliar foods. One of the things that we did was we worked with the CRA of Dania Beach, and we developed the patch. It's called People's Access to Community Horticulture, and it's a market garden. And a market garden is different than a community garden in that everything that's grown there is grown for sale. And we work on it as an economic development tool as well as a healthy eating, active living tool. But one of the things that we found was the farmers that we were working with, again, knowing that we don't have a lot of growers in Broward County, were from the north or had very strong cultural bias that would be white cultural bias, not with that was culturally appropriate for our communities. And so one of the things that were grown the first time was Swiss chard. Now, for those of you who are from the north, that's something that you guys know, for those of us from the South, and especially in Dania Beach, Florida, no one knew anything about Swiss chard, nothing. And so what ended up happening was we used the Swiss chard. We went on and had healthy recipes for the unfamiliar foods so that people would then buy them and enjoy them. And then throughout this time, we've been tracking both the sales and the attendance, and we both have gone up. And luckily, we were able to, we started three of the farmers market, but we were able to track the funds and the attendance at one specifically. We could track the attendance at other ones, but we couldn't track the sales data. So we felt really comfortable and good about being able to track this data and see exactly what was happening. And then for us, you know, the gardens and the farmers markets, community gardens are fabulous, but y'all, they're work. They are work. And what we found was we wanted to make people feel as though they were inspired, that they were able to make their own living from this kind of work, and that they could see what they were growing and how it impacted their lives, both economically as well as physically. So for us, these gardens have provided each one of these, the connections to healthier neighborhoods, the intergenerational knowledge and exchange of learning has been amazing, because Dania Beach at one point was the tomato capital in 1950, was the tomato capital of the world. By 1958, the saltwater intrusion had become so bad that they couldn't grow any tomatoes. The property that we're on is in the Community Redevelopment Agency, which has looked at that land because of slum and blight. And so each of these areas, you can see the Community Redevelopment Agencies, and all, they have 103 of the low healthy food access areas. We have 524,000 people affected by them living near those areas. And then part of the CRA's work is to reduce neighborhood slum and blight. So they became a great partner for us, and we're going to continue to use them as a great partner. But I think the thing that we all need to think about while we're doing these kinds of projects are how each of these areas come together. And with us being able to go to a city or a community redevelopment agency, and y'all, they have money that we don't because of community development block grants, because of the work that they need to do for slum and blight, because of their five-year plans, they are able to provide funding in a way that none of us can. And when you show a market garden with a farmer's market attached to it can help them be able to reduce slum and blight, it changes. You can see the flip in the way that they think about things. And so this is for communications. I wanted you guys to be aware that we have our Touch Broward website. We also are on Facebook and Twitter. And Patch itself is also on Facebook and Twitter. So I can provide that to you guys afterwards. But I also wanted to show you guys, when we're talking about the positive impacts and of all of these, one of the things that we did was we worked to develop and to provide to our farmers markets different materials that were culturally appropriate. And so we have things like the soul food plate instead of my plate. We have my plate there too, but we want people to understand that when they're cooking collard greens, they can cook collard greens in a different way and still have them be tasty without having the same fat back in them. We have programs now that are being done through the Y. Meredith Sowers is here from the YMCA, Broward County. So we've started kids doing Y-Fit at our farmers markets. That brings that up to a different level. In addition, we have Flippany, which is Florida introduces physical activity and nutrition to youth, and they have registered dietitians on their program, so they're able to do things like Slim Down Sister. And then finally, we have for them the new soul food cookbook for people with diabetes, so that, again, they can see we're not trying to We're not trying to change their whole diet, just little changes. And the other thing about our farmers market is that since we're working with the CRA on it, we've been very selective in whatever kinds of vendors that are there. So if you come from the community and you're going to do cottage industry products, which are great things that you can do from home, then we have Miss Sarah who's there every Saturday, and she has a red velvet cake that is to die for, y'all. But we also have her working with one of our nutritionists so that she last week was able to debut her first gluten-free red velvet cake. So, I mean, these are things that they're baby steps, but we think that it's really making a big difference. So if you guys have any questions? No? Okay.
Well,
absolutely. And so what we do is work with a food truck or a nutritionist or a group that already has the health department or the USDA certification to be able to do that. Healthy food is always, I mean, that healthy food handling is always important to us. Yes?
Did you find that you had to provide incentive for the community to come out with a farmer's market, especially when you first started, or were they just very excited?
Because we have the market garden there that is part of the community, it's embedded in a neighborhood. So it's not like it's just, you know, you find the best traffic area and that's where you put the farmer's market. It's embedded in the neighborhood. So I have statistics on how many people walk and ride bikes versus drive, and it's about 50-50. So that tells us that a lot of the people are coming from the neighborhood, but no, we didn't. We felt like if folks were going to come, that they would come. Now, we do have special events from time to time. We just did Food Day, which was awesome, and we had a healthy food demonstration and Y-Fit and ladybug release in the garden, which was, you know, brought out lots of kids, which, you know, is just fabulous. But for the incentives, I will tell you one of the biggest lessons learned is if you are working in a CRA and you have a market garden or farmer's market, that having SNAP in place before you start is so important. And in our state, we were able to get another grant that's going to do double buying power. So if you spend $5 with your SNAP dollars on fresh fruits and vegetables, you can get $5 worth. So that is one of our biggest lessons learned. Does anybody else? Yes, ma'am.
I'm wondering if anybody in your coalition is looking at kind of illicit marketing practices by junk food industry towards, in particular, African American or Black people in the community. It seems that no matter how much of this you do, as long as that's going on, you can't really win.
That's a very, very true statement. So it's kind of like Manuela and Kathy were saying. You know, we take the baby steps. We find those places where the healthy choices can be had. And right now, it's much easier for any of the people in our neighborhood to go to Church's Fried Chicken than it is to go to Winn-Dixie. It's closer, it's cheaper, I mean, in their minds. And so part of that work is, like Manuela was saying, we're working with Flippany now to do that shopping matters and the cooking matters so that people can understand these are things that we can do from home. Takes 15 to 30 minutes, which is what it would take you to drive or for them ride a bike to Church's Chicken and be able to have something that your family will enjoy. Yes, sir.
I love the shortening the distance from the garden to the plate aspect of your whole program. I'm really curious, like, what do you have any outcomes measurements that you're using for this to determine, like, you know, what kind of positive effect that this program is having versus, let's say, maybe like a more historic community-based program?
That's a really good question. I have to give you yes and no. We have some of the measures, outcomes that are directly related to sales perception, consumption, or at least, you know, what's reported consumption. But I have to tell you a quick story that kind of wraps up what is meant to the neighborhood. If you walk through this neighborhood, you will find trash everywhere. I mean, it's just, I don't know why, but for whatever reason, there's trash everywhere. One of the women who came to the farmer's market for food day was like, I can't believe it. I walked all the way here from my house, which is like 3 blocks from where the garden is. There's no trash. She said, I saw one of the boys in our neighborhood picking up trash. And I'm thinking to myself, oh my gosh, you know, is this a good thing or a bad thing? I said, oh, well, how did that make you feel? She goes, I feel great. I'm not only getting to see this positive part from the physical health, you know, piece, because she's one of the people who started doing the juicing and is very health conscious now, but then also for the community, because they see that we keep our site cleaned up, that we've put out garbage cans, that you see these little ripples, as it were, you know, from one little piece to another. I like to call them little baby seeds of change, you know, so one little seed adds to another and something great and beautiful grows. Yes, ma'am. Yes, as a matter of fact, the only reason that I was interested in doing this kind of a model is the only reason I would do a garden at all is if they could show me that it could be not sustainable land-wise, but sustainable from the long term, and that it would be able to allow people in that neighborhood to actually have jobs. Y'all, farming, gardening, whatever you want to call it, it is hard. And in Florida, it's hot, you know, so you get, and it's buggy. I mean, and we're growing in a way that, you know, is completely and totally natural. We use everything. It would be organic except for getting the certification. So what we have done is build a business plan, and we're actually in the process of finishing our transforming communities through market gardens that shows the business plan as well as everything in it so that people know this is able to be achieved. It does take investment on the front end, especially from a CRA for the land and for that piece of it. But in order for it to be sustainable both socially as well as economically, it's got to have that income piece. At least that's what I found. And this is all anecdotal. There's not a... But for the profit piece, that is being done. Any of the stuff that we're selling from the garden is now covering the salaries of the people that are working there. Does anybody else have any questions? Oh, yes, ma'am.
I just had a question.
Did you, when you first started doing the market, did you have any issues with the city or the county with land use regulations? I am so glad you asked that question, because one of the biggest things about setting up either a garden or a market garden or a farm or a farmer's market is that notion of land use and zoning. The first thing that we did was make sure that the land use and the zoning were in place before we took one step on this piece of property. We have those other two sites that I was telling you about for the farmer's market. One of them has a garden in it, a place that has no zoning or land use, and it's city. The city is in charge of it. So, you know, we're working through those pieces with the other ones, but indeed, having that is so important. And if you're working with a CRA or with the city, they have the inroads. They know how to get those things done quickly. So I suggest, I'm a very big proponent of working with community redevelopment agencies if you can.
I'm from Pinellas County, so we're in that
We have 31. We have 31, and if the Anthony can talk to you offline, but he can tell you exactly what the zoning is like for Broward County versus each one of those municipalities. Thank you guys so much.